Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cynical series, and this is the ebook series where we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation and methodically go through it. And we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, again, it's a joy to be together on this rare Saturday evening or Sunday morning, depending on where you're joining us from. Apologize yesterday. But we're back, or God's back, I should say. And Our Lady has a lot to explain to us this evening through Father Iannuzzi. That's what's so beautiful about the ebook series. You know, we're taking a document that has the Church's seal of approval, and it's been given abrogation by the Holy See through the Gregorian University of Rome. Father set out to prove that everything that Luisa penned, everything that she wrote, was grounded in our Catholic faith, to be true Catholic. And he successfully defended that. Beautiful. So we have this enormous tool as we await the critical edition to be released by the Vatican, or completed, I should say, by the Vatican, which, as we were told, based on the communication from the bishop in 2020, I believe it was March 6th, he said that the Church is sort of stuck. They're in a quagmire. There's some ambiguities, not problems with respect to errors. There's no errors. But the ambiguities are the Church, these are my own words, the Church doesn't have the vernacular, doesn't know how to present this in a Catholic perspective, completely truthful to what Jesus articulated to Luisa. Because if you think about it, you have to be able to do that. You need to be a theologian. That's just, you need to know our faith A to Z completely. You need to be well-versed and perfectly fluent in Italian as well as English. And you must have an enormous grip on the understanding of the gift of living in the divine will. And unfortunately, they have not found somebody, or they haven't asked this somebody who fits that criteria, those credentials, to assist them. I can mention somebody off the top of my head that has all those credentials and probably has done most, if not all, of the work already, and that's Father Iannuzzi. But again, be that as it may, we have to look on the positive. Although it's taking a longer time, and we're not even sure when we're going to receive it, but God is giving us an opportunity to continue to grow in faith through this gift of the divine will. And remember, every time somebody was healed in Scripture, our blessed Lord stated to them, it is your faith that healed you. So we have an enormous opportunity. God says, well, when I return, will I find faith? Will people believe this to be true? Because I have to believe that once the Church gives its final stamp of approval, the critical edition comes out, some of our faith will have to be converted to obedience, right? The church says it's so, and we believe the church, and it is so. But right now, we have an opportunity 100% in faith. I mean, justified, substantiated, corroborated. I mean, we know it's true. But God is still giving us, I think, that opportunity in faith. Enormous. And for how long, we're not sure. So we take advantage of it every day. That's why I didn't want to wait till next Friday. Why not Saturday evening? It's a great time to journey the divine will. Well, actually, every day is. We talked about the divine will being a cog. Jesus speaks about this in volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. We're not going to read that because we don't have time. But in the essence of it is basically, our blessed Lord here is the power, is the all, is the everything, the uncaused cause. He's now calling a small, very small group of people to be closely integrated with him. So much so that these souls who are asked to do this will have a greater understanding than really any other soul in the history of mankind. Absent, of course, of Adam and Eve before the fall, our Blessed Mother, of course, and Louisa. These few souls that God is calling, I pray, is us. And I truly believe it is. So it's so important, because if we do not receive what God wants to give us, we cannot, through God, communicate this gift to all the other cogs that need this vitally. Because if we don't, or if we say, well, I've got other things to do, it stops. And God says he's willing to wait generations if he has to. But we don't want that to happen. We want it now. Again, this is found in volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. And I promise you, it'll be much better articulated by Jesus than what I just explained. But that was just my simple understanding of it. Another thing we're talking about, too, is, you know, we're talking about, you know, this divine will has been, it's completely veiled. It's covered, whether it's covered with sheets or covered with clouds. And as we start to break through, the clouds seem to be dissipating. The veils seem to be being removed. And we're starting to see more clearly exactly what God is doing and what he wants to do in each and every one of us. And I know each of us has a little bit of cloud separation every time, every day we journey or we read a little bit. So we're on Father's 5.3.7.1.1. This is the elaborations of P.G. Renzi's. And we're on, I think we're on footnote number 270, but let's just go through this again, because it's been, you know, it's been 8 days. And this states that, this is, again, this is Father Anuzzi's summary. And what's so beautiful about this dissertation, one of the things, is that Father gives us a summary, a theological summary, Catholic summary. Then he drives us into the book of heaven to see where Jesus corroborates his summary. Again, this is the comparison. This is the analysis that Father Anuzzi had to do in order to prove that everything Jesus spoke to Louisa and everything Louisa penned is grounded in our faith, whether it be the patristics, the doctors of the faith, the positive faith, the magisterium, the catechism. It had to be somewhere. And again, Father successfully defended that. So it starts off, noteworthy is P.J. Renzi's application of the Maximian divinization. If you recall, about a month or so ago, we went over this also. This was basically, in a nutshell, the church was having difficulty saying there's only one nature of God, divine. And yet some theologians were saying, no, there's actually two. There's a human nature that God took upon himself for those 33 years. And of course, that prevailed. So the application of the Maximian divinization that is realized in man, that is unattainable, this is important, unattainable by man's efforts, as it is God's pure favor. We can know this. We can want this. But unless God picks us up and brings us there, we can't get there. It's actually the mystical gifts that God bestows on us. And again, Father Anuzzi articulates mystical gifts as being gifts that are not given equally to souls like our baptismal gifts are. In fact, God gives these mystical gifts to whomever he pleases, when he pleases, to what extent he pleases. And again, to find out more about these mystical gifts, you can read, it's located in St. John of the Cross, and also in Vatican II, the documents of Vatican II. So again, we have received at least one, if not many, mystical gifts, because when introduced to the divine will, each and every one of us saw a little glimmer of light. We noticed something that got our attention, where many others, when they look at it, or they read it, or they try to study it, they don't comprehend it. Again, not that we're smarter, we're probably not. In fact, it's maybe on the contrary. But we were given that mystical gift to recognize something. You know, so it's like being in an apartment building and you have a blackout. And you're walking through the apartment building, you know, looking to see if everyone's safe. And then you notice from one apartment, there's a little bit of light under the door. And that's strange. And you investigate. I mean, I couldn't conceivably think that somebody would not investigate. So we see that light under the door. For some reason, God has chosen us to see that light, where many others, the vast majority, do not see that light. And God also states with mystical gifts, if we use them as they're given to us, he will give us more. If we put them on the shelf or decide not to use them, then he'll give to someone else what he was going to give to us. It's pretty incredible. Okay, so back to this. Again, God's pure favor. In presenting Maximus' preliminary stage of man's potential being that is situated in the mind of God to the stage of his created being that occurs in the act of creation, and PJ lays the foundation for Maximus' final stage of man's transformation of being, that's now the divine will, into eternal being that occurs with the consent of his free human will. This transformation is an act of pure grace that culminates in divinization and establishes the continuous link of man's temporal being with God's eternal being. That's a great definition. What does the divine will do? It's the transformation in an act of pure grace that culminates in divinization and establishes the continuous link of man's temporal being with God's eternal being. Wow. Similarly, Luisa affirms that God's gratuitous gift of living in the divine will empowers man to continuously cooperate with his eternal being that transcends man's finite and temporal being. It takes us to a whole different level, never before recognized. This gift is realized by virtue of God's great, unheard of, and long chain of graces that impart to the soul continuous growth, whereby the acts of man's finite being are absorbed, raised, and transformed by the operation of God's eternal being. Okay, we can stop there because we're going to be beginning with footnote number 270. We may touch a little bit on 269 also, because it's nice to sort of recall what we read already, because it's like one big continuation. So the gift is realized by virtue of God's great, unheard of, and long chain of graces. I think that suffice to move into the footnotes. So we're going to start with them. Maybe we will. I think it's better if we just go through a couple of these points that we read previously in the footnotes just to bring us up to speed. So this was in footnote 268, which was volume 2, August 12th, 1899. Then he continued, our blessed Lord speaking, of course, great graces am I pouring in you. Make sure you keep them well. We just talked about that he wants us to use them. If we use them, he's going to give us more. If not, he'll take it away. And Jesus said, do not fear. I myself will teach you the way you must keep in speaking with your neighbor. First, when you are told something about your neighbor, cast a gaze upon yourself and observe whether you are guilty of that same defect. For in that case, wanting to correct is wanting to make me indignant and to scandalize your neighbor. That's powerful. Second, if you see yourself free of that defect, rise then and try to speak as I would have. In this way, you will speak with my own tongue. Just think about that. God never really got angry. He never belittled his captors. Like, who do you know who I am? He didn't do any of that. He was silent. Even when Pilate said, are you the king? You say so. Very calm, very humble, very confident. Second, if you see yourself free of that defect, rise then and try to speak as I would have. In this way, you will speak with my own tongue. By doing so, you will never fail in charity with your neighbor. On the contrary, with your words, you will do good to yourself and to your neighbor. And to me, you will give honor and glory. End quote. It's emulating God. That takes a lot of, talk about the martyrdoms. We're so used to reacting, and sometimes justifiably. But now God's asking us to respond, to pause, to have that sometimes a broadcast will have a 20-second delay or a 10-second delay just in case something crazy is said that they can not air. Let's do that sort of 5-second delay with ourselves also. When a situation presents itself, and again, I'm striving to do this myself, so please don't think that I've got this perfected. I don't. But just to take a step back, because to respond, we need a moment to reflect. To react, we just work on our instincts, and usually our instincts aren't always the best response. So I think that's really important also. And when he says also, with your words, then you will do good for yourself. Yeah, sort of like it's one of those quizzes. You know, God's constantly giving us quizzes throughout our lives. And then, of course, he gives us tests also. But the quizzes are there to prepare us for those tests. And actually, in the quizzes, what he's doing is he's giving us the answers to the test. So if we're observant, if we're focused on what God is putting in our lives, I think we can learn the story behind what he's trying to teach us in a very sublime, mystical way. And again, it'll give honor and glory to God. That's our greatest aspiration, to do that. That's knowing God, loving God, serving God, and now we know possessing God is the culmination of all three of those that are located in our Baltimore Catechism. Okay, the next bit of red here came from volume 11, May 25th, 1916. And this states, again, Jesus talking, quote, my daughter, my love for the creatures is so great that as soon as the soul decides to give herself to me, I surround her with so much grace. I caress her, I move her, I pick her up. I provide her with sensible graces, fervor, inspiration, squeezes to my heart. My daughter, my love is for creatures so great as soon as the soul decides to give herself to me. And that's what we do in the Prevenient Act in the morning. And when we ask to fuse ourselves with God. As soon as the soul decides to give herself, as soon as we make this decision, this conscious decision, God starts working. He starts protecting that decision. I surround her with so much grace. I caress her. I move her. I pick her up. I provide her with sensible graces, fervor, inspirations. Again, God's doing all the work. We just said, yeah, God, I like this. And God, in essence, springs into action. He doesn't do it initially without our consent and without our wanting, but he waits for us to take that, in essence, that first step. And once we take the first step, he does the rest. It's like running a race and you're at the starting line and the gun goes off, go. And we take one step and then God runs the rest of the race. That's exactly what's happening. Look at our Blessed Mother when she gave her fiat. She gave her trust to God in that fiat. God did all the work. He wants to do the same with us. That's what's so incredible. Okay, so in seeing herself graceful, the soul begins to love me. Again, he's transforming us. He's working from the inside out because, again, the body expresses the soul. To work on the body first, it may not permeate the soul, so he knows exactly what he's doing. So in seeing herself graceful, the soul begins to love me, forming me a foundation of prayers and pious practices inside her heart, all for the right reasons. And she begins to exercise the virtues. Again, this whole journey is an exercise of virtues until that one glorious day comes when we've sort of maxed out all our virtues. And that's when we live in the divine will perpetually. But until we get there, we're constantly working on these virtues. And again, God explains too in another volume, I forget which one it is, that in order to exercise the virtues, what do we need? We need situations that test us, right? That try us, that that annoy us or hurt us or insult us or humiliate us. We need all these situations to practice our virtues. Because otherwise, if everything was perfect, how can we practice? How can we get better? Everything's perfect. We can't. So until that happens, again, every time something not so nice happens or someone speaks not so nicely to us, it's a test. Pause for that moment. Respond. Don't react. And again, the more I say it, the more hopefully I will do it. So, and all of us will do it. Where am I? Prayers by soul. Okay. All this forms a flowery field in the soul. So again, we're being changed. The next bit of red here that I'd like to read is, with trust in me, she will give flavor to the fruits. With loyalty, she will let them mature. And with courage, tolerance, and tranquility, they will grow and become rich fruits. Another great line, using a fruit as an analogy, the life of the fruit, the life of the creature, the human. With trust in me, she will give flavor to the fruits. With loyalty, she will let them mature. And with courage, tolerance, and tranquility, they will grow and become rich fruits. And I, the celestial farmer, will pick these fruits and make them my food. Then I will plant another field, more flowery. Again, we pass that quiz, we get another quiz. We pass that quiz, we get to the test, and we're prepared for the test. And when we pass the test, of course, we know what happens. Another field, more flowery, more beautiful, in which heroic fruits will grow, such as to pull unheard of graces from my heart. But if she is unfaithful, mistrustful, agitated, and has a taste for human things, etc., these fruits will be unripe, insipid, bitter, covered with mud, and will serve to embitter me and to make me withdraw from the soul. Well, unfaithful, mistrustful, agitated. See how important those exercises of the virtues are to help us become calm, become loving, to become trustful, non-agitated, not desiring a taste for human things. That's incredible. Okay. I think there's one more red. No? Okay. This is one thing too. I say this. We have a lot of the novenas. We have a lot of devotional prayers that are out there. There's one for Divine Mercy, and these are all great. But Jesus gives us a little bit of a hint here in Volume 11, September 6, 1913. Talks about the nobility, the divine nobility of doing the hours of the Passion, and talks about the indulgences. I'm going to skip ahead here. But Louisa says, while I was thinking of this, my always adorable Jesus, all kindness told me, oh no, I'm sorry, I have to start with this. I was thinking this, Louisa, because I was thinking about the hours of the Passion, which have now been written, and how they are without any indulgences. So those who do them do not gain anything. While there are many prayers enriched with many indulgences. While I was thinking of this, my always adorable Jesus, all kindness told me, my daughter, one gains something through the prayers with indulgences, but the hours of my Passion, which are my own prayers, my own reparations, and all of my love, came really from the depths of my heart. Did you perhaps forget how many times I united myself with you to do them together? And I turned chastisements into graces over the entire earth? So my satisfaction is such that instead of the indulgence, I give the soul a handful of love, which contains infinite love of incalculable price. Further, when things are done for pure love, my love finds its outpouring. And it is not inconsiderable that the creature can give relief and expression to the love of her creator, end quote. This is, I put this in the same category. I don't have it near me, but of the giving up even holy things. Remember our blessed lady said, when Jesus was lost in the temple, giving him up for those 3 days, she had to sacrifice that. She had to go through that pain, that misery, in order for a greater good to come about. He's talking here about, okay, let's just take an example. Let's say I am, I'm very busy. I'm working. I've got a family. I've got a wife. I've got other obligations. I've got maybe elderly parents to take care of. I've got a lot on my plate. And I get home very late and I have to leave very early in the morning. And I only have an hour, let's say, for the divine will. Or for prayer. So I say my rosary, which takes me 15, 20 minutes. And then I now embark on the divine will. I may read a couple excerpts. That's why I recommend that while you're reading the volumes, maybe if you have a copy of them, you can maybe highlight with a yellow highlighter. So in case you don't have time to read the whole volume, you can just skim the page and see where you've highlighted and just read that. It's just a possibility, an option. But God is saying here that the greatest good that can be done with that little bit of time that we have really is the hours of the Passion. I put this in the same category as when Jesus says the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. Again, said just like that, it sounds heretical, but it's not. It's not a competition of God being greater than God. With the Eucharist, it's the divine will for 15 minutes or a perennial divine will, which is greater. Of course, we know forever is greater than 15 minutes. Penitentiary indulgence or a plenary indulgence, indulgence period, they help us personally, whether it be with purgatory or in some aspect of our life, relating to our punishment or the penalty for those punishments. God is saying, though, if you don't have a lot of time, instead of gaining indulgences, which are nice, you read the hours of the Passion. Now, Father, I knew this. We had a Q&A. I'm going all over the place. I'm sorry. We had a Q&A one session, and somebody said, I don't have a lot of time, Father. I want to journey in the divine will as quickly as I can. What do you suggest? And Father says, the hours of the Passion. Because it's the greatest way to advance most quickly, because we are actively participating in Jesus' Passion, actively, as opposed to passively, maybe sometimes actively, reading and meditating on the volumes. Of course, we're getting graces in both aspects. So God is saying here, if you read the hours of the Passion, I give you a, what did he say? I give you a cup of love. What did he say? Gain something. I united myself with you to do them. He's going to unite himself with us to turn chastisements into graces for the entire earth. That is an upright intention. That's wanting good for not just ourselves and our families, but for everyone. Oh, I give the soul a handful of love, which contains infinite love of incalculable price. Okay, so let's do the same test that we did with the Eucharist and the perennial communion of the divine will. What is greater, to take that half hour and gain indulgence or indulgences, or a handful of love, which contains infinite love of incalculable price? And this is for the entire earth, all souls, past, present, and future. Again, looking at it that way, we understand, I think, a little bit better what God means. Which, where will the greater good come? Now, if you have time to do both, it's perfect. But in case you have that. Okay, so sorry, I'm so long-winded here. Okay, maybe we'll get to our I'll get to our session here, otherwise we're not going to be able to get through it. I'm going to try to bring up the pointer so I can remember where I am. Okay. So this footnote is from volume 17, May 10th, 1925. And it's entitled Different Ways to Fuse Oneself with the Divine Will, Feast of the Divinity and the Reason for It. Different ways to fuse oneself with the divine will. Louise is going to explain how she did it. And of course, we break the ice by asking God to unite our will with his most holy divine will. And we do that first and foremost as we first wake up with our prevenient act, our morning offering. Now, Father Celso made a comment, good comment, on one of his talks recently, because he said somebody had handed him a page of a prevenient act and said, Father, do I really have to read this whole page? And Father said, no, Jesus asks that if we are in the state of grace and we have a desire to fuse in his most holy divine will, that's all that's needed. And that's true. That's true. That's very true. Now what Father Anuzzi has done is he's compiled a prevenient act that spans quotes from the 36 volumes, including the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom and the Hours of the Passion. And yes, it is almost a page long. Now, for those of us who don't have a lot of time, if we have to, ask, Lord, may I fuse my human will with your most holy divine will? I truly and ardently desire this. That would be suffice. But since all we know about, especially what God tells us about words, he loves to hear the creature speak, whether it be vocally or subliminally, we speak inside as well. He likes to hear us converse with him. So if we have the time, and we know it's going to be pleasing to God, why wouldn't we want to? But again, both will get us to the same, I think, result. But if you have a preference, that's fine, it's a preference. I'd like to just take a quick look, if we can, at the, I'm not going to read the Prevenient Act, but it's available on our website. I think it's the first page, actually, the first tab on the website. Let me see if I can bring it up quickly here without disconnecting everyone. Okay. This is it's the first page in our website. We also have this in an audio form. And that's what I like to do. I like to sit back with my eyes closed and listen to the Prevenient Act. So that's in the Divine Will Resource Library audio room. Okay. But this is what Father Newsy, he gives us a little summary here. And of course, then the Prevenient Act here. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So it's actually about 7 paragraphs. But this is what Father, quantifies what this is. Okay, so this is Father Anuzzi speaking. So Jesus tells Louisa that every morning our prayer should be in the will of God. Jesus instructs Louisa that each of us how to recite this prayer each morning. And again, this is from all the volumes. I'm just picking here, picking there. On May 27, 1922, in volume 14, Jesus reveals to Louisa that the prevenient act or the morning offering in the divine will is made when the soul at the first rising of the day fixes her will in God's will. Here the soul decides and confirms that she wants to live and operate only in God's will. The soul anticipates all of her acts of the entire day in this morning offering by consecrating them to the divine will. In this moment, the soul's acts begin to flow in God's one eternal act that having neither beginning nor end, elevates her acts to embrace all acts of lives of the past, present, and future. Then Father goes on to explain, however, because of self-esteem, or is this still Jesus speaking? I think this is Father speaking. However, because of self-esteem, negligence, and other things, that's definitely Father speaking, during the day, which may diminish the efficacy of the prevenient act, like clouds before the sun, one must renew this act throughout the day. Jesus refers to this renewal as the present act, and it removes the things that may diminish the prevenient, like, for example, come divine will drive in my driving, come divine will eat in my eating. Jesus refers to this renewal as the present act and removes the things that may diminish the prevenient act. To Louisa, Jesus reveals that both the prevenient and the present acts are necessary for living in the divine will. Again, God likes to hear us ask for it. The former disposes and admits the soul to live in the divine will, while the latter maintains and expands the soul in that same will. If you maintain a busy work ethic, you may renew the preventing act 3 or 4 times a day. Now, the manner of renewing this act is not confined to its repetition, although this is a good method. God is pleased to see you express your love to him in a variety of ways. You may renew this act, for example, in his fiat of creation, in the fiat of redemption, or in his fiat of sanctification. Now, whenever renewing this act, we should, like Louisa, do so with 2 movements of the soul. This is very important too. Louisa used this approach often. The first movement of the soul is general. And here we offer to God the love, praise, and thanksgiving of and for all things at once, as they are present to us in the eternal now. The second movement is particular. And here we offer to God all things in clusters, one at a time, the suns of the cosmos, the stars, the waters, all mankind, you know, sort of like groups, or individually this or that particular thing. Louisa consistently practiced both movements until she passed into eternal reward. The preventing act to the right, also known as the morning offering, which is below actually here, is a beautiful prayer compiled from numerous extracts of Louisa's 36 volumes following her method of prayer, which she employed every morning. And again, I highly recommend you look at this. But again, the short version or this slightly longer version, they're both very good. If you have time, I think God may be looking for this, if you have time, and if you have the desire to do so. Okay, let's go back to the drawing board, so to speak. Okay, so now Louisa is going to talk about some of her martyrdom. She didn't like to write. She was actually in pain. Plus, she didn't command the language very well because she had, in essence, a first grade education. So Louisa says, I write only out of obedience, and I'm going to make a mix of past and present things. Many times in my writings, I say I was fusing myself in the holy divine volition, and I don't explain further. Now, forced by obedience, thank God she was obedient to write this, otherwise we wouldn't have the Book of Heaven. I will say what happens to me in this fusion in the divine volition. Okay, so again, out of obedience. That's why obedience is so important. Now, again, there's a true obedience and there's a false obedience. You know, we're not obedient to things that are not good or something that doesn't sound right. I mean, perhaps would need some slight investigation. But for the most part, something like, you know, you must write this. That's an obedience we really can't say no to. Because her confessors were hand-selected for her and for themselves to either learn and grow directly by Jesus or through Louisa's writings or a combination thereof. So, Louisa is going to explain the first one here. As I fuse myself in it, an immense void, all of light, comes before my mind, in which one can find neither the extent of its height nor of its depth, nor the boundaries of the right or the left, nor those on the front or in the back. In the midst of this immensity is the highest point. I seem to see the divinity or the three divine persons waiting for me, but this always mentally. And I don't know how. A little child comes out from me, although it is still I. Maybe it's my little soul. It is moving to see this little child putting herself on the path within the immense empty space. All alone, shy, walking on tiptoe, with her eyes always fixed to the place where she sees the three divine persons. Because she fears that as if she lowers her gaze in that immense void, she wouldn't know at what point she would end up. All her strength is in that gaze fixed on high. In fact, in receiving in return the gaze of the supreme height, she draws strength along the way. So pause there. So I think Louise is explaining to us here that, you know, she's, I won't say confused, but she's she doesn't really know what to expect. She's sort of been taken on this journey. Again, this is sort of the same what we're talking about before. If we have that desire, you know, we give our fiat, God, we take this first step, and then God sort of pulls us along the way, as long as we're not fighting and screaming and kicking. So she's entering into this void, as she talks about. And again, Jesus talks about the voids too. There's really two voids. One's a very good void. One's a very bad void. The good void is that space in our soul that God has left vacant in order to be filled with him. It's like an empty room to put our goods in, and the goods are God. Or the other void, which is not good, that void we create ourselves based on missed opportunities to give glory and honor to God and the love of God due to God. Yeah, Thanksgiving. We don't thank God enough. I think each and every one of us. Some do it better than others, but I know I don't do it often enough. So all of those voids that we create based on those missed opportunities, we need to fill those voids before heaven. The other voids have to be filled too. And that's a space that is there to help us contain God in our souls. So that's beautiful. So in fact, in receiving and return the gaze of supreme high that draws strength along the way. Now, as the little one arrives before them, she plunges herself with her face into the empty space to adore the divine majesty. But a hand from the divine persons raises the little child, and they say to her, "Our daughter, the little daughter of our will, come in our arms." In hearing this, she becomes festive and makes the three divine persons festive and delighting in her. They await the performance of the office which they entrusted to her. And with grace typical of a child, she says, "I come to adore you, to bless you, to thank you for all. I come to bind to your throne all human wills of all generations, from the first to the last man, so that all may recognize your supreme will. May all adore it. May all love it. And may all give it life within their souls." And I think that's a perfect example of, how we're it's suggested that we be like children. We be accepting like children. We be trusting like children. You know, when a mother and father tells a child something, child usually doesn't become belligerent. Well, maybe today they do, but I mean, they trust whatever the mother or father said, and they do it because they feel deep down that whatever mom and dad is asking is going to be beneficial or helpful or necessary for them to do. So there's no argument. Wait a minute, time out. You know, we don't analyze. In fact, Jesus uses those words too. He tells the weak, this is not for you to analyze. Because if we start to analyze it, we're going to invoke more of our human will, which we're trying to avoid. We're trying to defer it to God's most holy divine will. Plus, we'd be wasting time. I mean, we have to prove to ourselves that this is true, or do we just accept this as being true and move along? I think the latter will get us there quicker. So, delighting. See, the three divine persons festive and delighting in her. They await the performance of the office. We all have an office. Go back to that cog. We're all called to be a special part in this mission, in this glory of all glories, prodigies of all prodigies, gifts of all gifts. I mean, God just tells us in a myriad of different ways how this is the most special thing that he can do for mankind. Nothing greater. So we may think, how can anyone say no to this? Because again, we're thankful that as we were looking around in that apartment building through the blackout, we're looking for a light. Thank God. God gave us the mystical gift to be able to see that little bit of light under that one little door, which was enough to perk our curiosity and to increase our desire once we saw what was behind that door. To others who don't see that light, it's almost impossible. Yeah, don't you see the light? Look right there. They don't see it. But it's right there. Look. No, they don't see it. And unless they are ready to take a leap of faith, which it says in The Son of My Will, the biography of Luisa, published by the Vatican, it says this gift is available to everyone. I think it's on page 222. This gift is available to everyone, but it does require a leap into the extraordinary, a leap of faith. We'll go back to 45 minutes ago. Jesus saying, when I return, will I find faith? Do we have an opportunity right now to grow, to journey, to go deeper into the divine will in faith? While the church is in a quagmire, again, to no fault of their own. They just haven't, been presented. They won't ask the right person. But that's a benefit to us. It has to be, because God would not allow it to happen unless a greater good can come. Remember, God states that. Yeah, we have to wait a little longer. Yeah, we don't have that critical edition. Yeah, there's a lot of errors out there and they're getting worse sometimes. Yeah, it's happening. And it's going to happen until that critical edition comes out. That's why we're so blessed to have this dissertation with the church's seal of approval. And all of the gifts that God has given us. Father Inuzzi, Father Celso, Mother Gabriel Marie, Father Young, Father Brown, who have passed away already. Their work lives on. Everybody saw this gift from a slightly different perspective. And one of those perspectives may resonate most fondly with us. And that's okay. But we can't dismiss the others. I think they all were given a gift to assist us in our journey. It's okay to have favorites. But we get comments that are unflattering, uncharitable about some of those names I just mentioned. Can't do that. Can't do that. Like you said, you can have favorites, but don't make up malicious lies and speak illy, untruths. That can't be pleasing to God. But anyway, I think we're out of time, but different ways to fuse oneself. Again, please look at the Prevenient Act on the website, queenofthedivineworld.org. It's the first tab. Is that the one you have to pray? No, of course not. You can pray any Prevenient Act you'd like. It can be just as simple as, Lord, I love you. I want to fuse my human will in your most holy divine will. Or any other version of that to whatever length or shortness you'd like to convey to God. He's given us time. If we can, perhaps we should give him a little bit more time. Speaking of time, we're out of time, but tomorrow, Sunday, or today, Sunday, depending on where you're joining from, we will have with us live Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi. He begins, I believe, at 1:30. We'll have the Holy Rosary and the Divine Will. We'll have adoration. And Father joins us at 2:15. Now, the questions for Father that are being sent in advance that have passages, there was a 6 o'clock deadline, but if anyone would like to spend another, I'll give another hour. If anyone likes to submit any questions, and then I'll send the questions to Father so we can have those passages ready so he doesn't create any downtime for us, because he wants to respond to as many questions as he possibly can in the hour and 15 minutes that we have every other week. So if you'd like to send a question to Father that pertains to a passage, a quote, or a passage in general, you can just send that email to maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org. That's maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org. Saying 10 to 8 right now, let's say 9 o'clock. So about an hour and 10 minutes. Any other questions that come in, I'll just parlay them to Father. And if you have any other questions that do not relate to a specific quote in a passage, of course, that you can do sort of on the fly. tomorrow as the Senegal progresses, and it'll be on a first come first serve basis. So we're going to end, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to use volume 36, April 20th, 1938, for a concluding prayer and supplication. Therefore, one who lives in my will can say that, as the angel said to the holy woman on the way to the sepulcher, he is risen. He is not here anymore. One who lives in my will can also say, my will is not with me any longer. It is risen again in the fiat. And if the circumstances of life, opportunities, and sufferings surround the creature as if they were looking for her will, she can answer, my will is risen again. It is not in my power anymore. I possess in exchange the divine will, and I want to cover with its light all things around me, all circumstances and all sufferings, to make them like many divine conquests. The soul who lives in our will finds life in the acts of her Jesus. And as always, in this life, she finds our operating, our conquering, our triumphant will. She gives us so much glory that heaven cannot contain it. Therefore, live always in our will. Never leave it if you want to be our triumph and our glory. And we ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. Hope to see everyone tomorrow with Father Anuzian again. Next hour, so if you have any questions, I'll make sure the Father gets it this evening. Okay, love everyone. God bless you, and hopefully see you on Sunday or Monday, depending on where you're joining us from. Bye-bye. Love everyone.